Robert Sullivan is in, and you just spoke about the mayor's decision not to run again.
Right.
Now, do you think that he did? I mean, in the article it says that he ran a in-house poll, self-funded, and he didn't like what he saw.
Well, in the article, I specifically pointed out that that was the rumor. The only rumor of many that are on the street today, with none of which I'll comment on, but the only rumor that I gave any credibility to, and that we had some insiders, some, you know, people let us know that there was a, it was pretty accurate that a poll was done. A poll was done to kind of gauge the matchup between several different candidates.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And in almost every instance, Raffaro came out last. Listen, we all know from the media, even if you don't have any insider knowledge, that Raffaro basically checked out of the mayor's office and checked into the assembly seat.
Well, yeah, the, you know, it was a big, once I remember the exact day when it was announced that Roanne was not being, you know, she took a position with the governor and that her seat was going to be up. Then everybody sat around saying, okay, well, who's going to replace her? And, you know, Dave Raffaro was right up on that list.
Well, and according to the Phoenix sources, you know, Dave Raffaro was being supported by a lot of insiders early at that time as the potential candidate. Now, as we all know, it's not a seat that someone can just run for. They had to be picked by the party.
Yeah.
So when everyone started throwing their hats in the ring, we all knew, you know, this isn't the way it's going to go. It's going to be an inside decision. Welcome to New York. Yeah, welcome to Albany. I mean, you wouldn't want to give everyone an opportunity, would you? But that's okay. That's the way it goes. And so we all knew that that candidate, the Democrats and the Republicans, were going to pick their own candidates. We chuckled over the potential matchup of Dave Raffaro and Tim Julian.
I was foaming at the mouth for it.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, so was I. I thought it would have been a really interesting twist on local politics, but unfortunately, it was not to be. And then, as we reported, enter, you know, Anthony Brindisi, this new fresh-faced kid who, by all accounts, you know, is the type of candidate people are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's not a long-term politician. He's just been elected to the school board. He's a lawyer. He's a pretty good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He's young, well-spoken.
He's a nice, normal guy with a nice family. Yeah. And, you know, so that's everything, right?
Yeah.
In politics today. So, I guess, you know, Raffaro's chances seem to evaporate, as we said, like an ice cube in July. And, but it, you know, that just harkens back to the disturbing trend.
Do you think it was his decision to pull out, or was it kind of the writing on the wall? Because he said he had it locked up. He was on here, you know, a couple weeks ago saying he had the nomination locked up.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was his to take if he wanted it. Do you think that's the case, or was it?
Absolutely not. I can't imagine anyone offering him that that seat, that nomination after, if a poll was truly done and his numbers were as dismal as everyone, you know, believed that they would be. I can't imagine that he would have even been in the running anymore.
Yeah, and he announced that he's not running for Utica mayor just a couple weeks after saying he was.
Right.
With, you know, he had his wife beside him, and the reasoning he gave was I want to spend more time with my family and focus on my business.
Yeah, okay.
Do you buy it?
Oh, my. Please. Listen.
It doesn't look like you do.
No, I really find that hard to believe. But hey, if that's what it took to make him feel better about dropping out, you know, about leaving the city, you know, basically he quit. You know, he turned his back on the city. Listen, he turned his back on the city when he decided to pontificate about what a great job he would do in the assembly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, former Mayor Julian did the same thing when he ran for the Senate.
Right.
Why can't we get a guy who wants to be mayor of Utica for 8 years and just be mayor of Utica for 8 years and be happy and proud of that?
Right.
Why can't we get that for a change? You know, why does everyone think that being mayor of Utica should be a stepping stone to someplace bigger, more important, especially when you look at the city and realize that none of these guys really achieve what they promised to do when they first run? You know, do your 8 years, point to some success. Right. Then if you want to run for higher office, you know, so be it. You know, all of our support should go behind a successful mayor at that point.
Master plan. How do you feel about the structure of it?
Well, you know, if you look back to the primary election of 4 years ago when I ran against Tim Julian, you'll see that a major platform that I ran on was the implementation of a master plan. Councilman Jim Zecca, who is running for Common Council President at that time a few years ago, also touted the importance of a master plan. I think the master plan process was expertly handled by the Saratoga Group, by the Page Group, a local firm downtown here that helped with the marketing aspect of the plan. We had an amazing, diverse cross-section of citizens of the city that wrote the plan. This is not, let me repeat, this is not Dave Raffaro's plan. Dave Raffaro attended one meeting of the master plan for about 15 minutes and left. He had virtually no input into this plan. The people, the citizens that were that volunteered and were chosen for this important task are the ones that wrote this plan. The Common Council should ratify this and get on with it. And I know one of the mayoral candidates, when questioned, said, you know, we'll take a look at that, and if it's not something that his administration thinks should happen, they won't do it. That's not the way it's going to be implemented. This is going to be by law, you know, written into the city of Utica, and every future mayor, no matter who they are or what their you know, party is or what their policies are going to have to, by law, follow this plan.
Amongst the current candidates, who would you support and who do you think is going to win? We got, I'll give you a couple choices.
Okay.
On the Republican side, the endorsed candidate is Bob Cardillo.
Okay.
And Mike Seminaro. So there's going to be a primary.
Well,
that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I was a I started my political career off as a Democrat, and then shocked my family in about, 87, 88, when I became a Republican, ran and was a Common Council rep for 6 years as a Republican, ran the mayoral primary as a Republican 4 years ago, but then decided that philosophically I was really not a Republican anymore.
Right.
And got to know the local Democratic Party. So I probably wouldn't be supporting a Republican anyway, but I would say that both Mr. Cardillo and Mr. Seminaro have a lot of, Mr. Seminaro has a lot of experience.
Yeah.
He's been in office. You know, I was on the Common Council with him. He's been the comptroller. I can't for the life of me understand why he would want to run for mayor. I mean, I know his, listen, let me just leave it at that. I don't know why he would want to. Mr. Cardillo, I don't know a lot about.
Nobody really seems to know a lot about him.
Back when I ran as an at-large councilman, as a Republican, back in, I think, 95 or 96, 1,000 years ago, Bob Cardillo was the city chair, I believe, of the Republican Party, and he was quite helpful, and he seemed like a nice enough guy. You know, I know he worked for HUD, but, of course, that was under the Bush administration, so that wasn't the HUD that, you know, I would personally think was, you know, so helpful to the city. I don't know enough about him to make a value judgment. He actually, I will say, though, he is the candidate who made the comment that he would not support the master plan in the future if elected, if it didn't, you know, agree with his policies, which I think is kind of not a good thing.
Right.
So,
and that's 300,000 plus just kind of washed down
exactly,
the drain.
Right? Exactly. Or more.
Yeah.
But the point being, the master plan has to be implemented by the Common Council as a matter of law, and it has to be followed. And if it's not followed, the citizens of the city should rise up, as they're doing across the world, and really hold our leaders' feet to the fire and make them adhere to this plan.
On the Democratic side, we have, it looks like, Rob Palmieri. And Frank Fassara said he will be screening for the committee.
Yeah, I've known Rob. I was on the Common Council with him for 6 years. I've worked with him in City Hall. I got to tell you, that was crazy for Dave Raffaro to have Rob Palmieri escorted out of the building by a police officer. Rob Palmieri is like feet on the street, no nonsense, you know, doing those sweeps and all that neighborhood quality of life stuff. I mean, this guy gets in criminals' faces. I mean, and it's kind of shocking to me when I saw how he, you know, aggressive and dedicated he is with virtually no protection. Listen, he's a good guy. He's really got the best interest of the city at heart. I don't know who's going to run against him in a primary, but I think Rob is definitely a contender for this seat that is a force to be reckoned with. And I know he's, you know, let me put it to you this way. I wouldn't want to have to run a primary against him or a general election, because I know he's really dedicated and he's a tough, tough, hard worker and a good campaigner. So I'm going to be watching to see how this all kind of plays out. So I haven't really made any picks yet.
Do you think that Rob's decision to run for mayor affected his employment status with the mayor? Because it was rumored, I think he was on the show with my predecessor here, saying that, you know, the mayor said that a little birdie told him that he was going to be running for mayor, and he fired him that day.
Let me tell you something about Rob Palmieri, just from my years of knowing him. Rob Palmieri would have never waged a primary fight against Dave Raffaro. He's too much of a gentleman for that. And for Dave Raffaro to fire him on the off chance that there was a rumor that he might do that is crazy. I mean, that's just virtually guaranteeing someone is going to run against you.
Yeah, really.
I mean, that's like political science 101. Keep your friends close.
Yeah.
You know, and your enemies closer. Not that Rob is an enemy, but certainly Rob would have supported the administration 110% had he not been so, you know, ruthlessly terminated.
We're speaking with Robert Sullivan, who wrote the article Decisions in the Utica Phoenix. And you can find it online at UticaPhoenix.net. Get there, and it's a great read. Take us through that day when you found out that you were terminated from City Hall.
Oh, it was a very standard day. I had, I had been hospitalized the week before. A couple weeks before, I'd had the week off the week before because my doctor had taken me out. Nothing really serious, but in retrospect, it was probably stress-related.
Yeah, probably. Now, I can imagine.
Because really, things in City Hall were crazy. The indecision and the wavering and the mayor kind of just became really unpredictable. And it became a very hard, tough working environment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mayor had a favorite saying. He would come into a room and he would say, you know, what's going on or whatever, and he'd say, I'm dead inside. You know, ha ha. Well, if the job is weighing that heavily on you, I would think to myself, why don't you just not do it anymore?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, if it's that tough, listen, yeah, it's tough. Politics, someone once referred to Utica politics as bare knuckled. You know, it is. I think actually, I got to give credit. It was Dan Miner,
yeah,
one of his blogs.
There you go, Danny. I love Dan's blogs, and I read Dan's blogs religiously. And I always tell him,
yeah,
dude,
me too.
Write more blogs, Dan.
Yeah, write less articles
and
more
blogs. Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I. But so Dan Miner referred to it as the bare knuckle world of Utica politics, and I used to think to myself, you know, Dave Raffaro is kind of like acting like everything is a personal affront to him.
Yeah, he seemed to take everything very critically, very personally.
You ran for mayor, for crying out loud. Would you think it was going to be a cakewalk? Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, we've all been slammed on the blogs, in the press, me more than just about anyone else. Get up in the morning and laugh about what they're going to write about me today. Don't take it personally, because when you're gone, you're gone. They're not even going to remember your
right,
name.
Right, yeah.
So that day was normal. It was, I had a meeting. I'll never forget. I had a meeting with this great group that was considering putting together a winter farmer's market, which I think the city could really use. You know, and those are the types of things we should be thinking about in city government. But unfortunately, the people at the top were really thinking like who we're going to shuffle around and who we're going to get rid of and what we're going to do to make sure we win and all this crazy stuff. And I was, the mayor came in and asked me to come up to my office. He wanted to see me. And I said, oh, okay. We rode the elevator together, and I, like a fool in retrospect, started, you know, telling him how great this winter farmer's market was going to be, and you know, we got some great ideas, and he said, oh, yeah, that sounds wonderful. Well, go into your office, and I'll be in there in a minute. We'll talk about it. Well, when I got into my office, you know, the police officer was there, Soggs, the new guy who replaced me, was there, and as I recall, Dave Williams, the city assessor, was there, which I didn't understand why he would take a role in my termination. And they brought me into the office and basically told me I was done and that I had to leave the building and I couldn't even go back to my desk.
Wow.
The police officer said, you have to go right to your car. And I said, I'd like to go to my sister's office to tell her what's happened. And he said, you have to go to your car. You can't go anywhere in this building.
Wow.
Except to your car. So I guess I was kind of taken into custody.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't allowed to go anywhere.
Right, but your car.
But my car. And then I saw my sister being led out of the office at the same time. And then she said, they fired me too. So we were both led down to our cars and out of City Hall. And that was it.
Hmm. That's abrupt.
Well, for me, you know what? Listen, I'd been there before. You know, the former mayor fired me too, Tim mm-hmm. Julian. He attached the termination notice to my front door, though.
There's no police escort.
No, I've never been given the opportunity to be confronted by my bosses and be explained to
right.
why they just kind of like, you know, they hide and they both hid and let other people do it, which is fine. But my sister, 25 years in city government, who was there every minute for Dave Raffaro, who watched over him like a concerned attorney
yeah.
would watch over a client, and who really became an integral part of who he was as mayor.
Absolutely. You know, and that was the biggest, and that's why it was such a big shock, because you guys, you and your sister, were very positive on the campaign, or not the campaign, administration, and was always out there, you know, getting the news out.
Listen, I didn't always agree with what Dave Raffaro did or said.
But you supported
but
him because he was the mayor.
110%. Right. And in fact, you know, I had said to him, look, we got so many things. I personally am overseeing so many positive projects. You have got to figure out how you're going to get reelected so we can keep this going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about the job. I mean, listen, everybody can go out and find a job. It's about making this city a place that we can be proud to call home.
Right.
And, you know, that things started to happen in a positive way. And I will say that there's only one person you can say had the control of that, and that's the mayor. I have come to realize that it's incredibly important to have the best person you can at the top, because they really do chart the course for the future of the city of Utica. And if you look at the city and the problems and the issues that we're facing today, you know, you can look back on many years of failed policies in city government that have totally made the city, you know, what it is today.
Yeah. Now, have you had any discussions with the mayor since? I mean, it was a couple months. It's about, what, 4 or 5 months ago?
I have not seen him. I ran into him at a funeral a couple weeks ago of a very close mutual friend, and he did not acknowledge me. Mm. He did not attempt to say hello to me. And obviously in his role as funeral director, and he was there running the funeral, you know, that day. So obviously his position at City Hall didn't keep him away from
right.
running the funeral. And so, no, he did not attempt to make any contact. In fact, I don't believe that he feels that he did anything wrong. I think he, to this day, still believes that the termination of the three of us was necessary and a good thing, which is baffling. But
it's politics, right?
I'll add that to the list of. But the real question is, where do we go from here?
Right.
Because, like I said, you know, you got a lot of good stuff going on. The master plan was a very positive first step. As many people who don't agree with the roundabout on Oneida Square, I think after an initial, you know, time of getting used
people
to it.
People hate changes like
people
that.
People hate change.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was with the mayor when we met with the Glens Falls people who, administration and different people who had the same issue there. That has worked wonderfully mm-hmm. well for them down in Glens Falls. So I would invite people from the city of Utica to take a ride down there and check out that roundabout and see how really nice it is and how it has improved, you know, the traffic flow and the general neighborhood. Listen, Oneida Square needs help.
They do need help. And, you
Oneida
know,
Oneida Square has phenomenal potential.
Yeah.
You know, as really the entrance to the arts corridor, the mm-hmm. arts district, and downtown. And I think this could help. The development on Bleecker Street that I was instrumental in getting you know, off the ground. Those four wonderful buildings that the previous administration was going to demolish. You know, I found the investors. I put together the project, and it's a great example of what downtown can and should be.
Now, your I guess replacement, Randy Soggs, has proposed low income housing on Lincoln Ave, across the street from the Tramontane Cafe. Do you support that? A lot of people are saying that it's kind of just creating another ghetto in the city of Utica.
Well, listen, I had already worked with MHA Executive mm-hmm. Director Dr. Taraz Rabot.
And they have a proposal for the same site.
The MHA proposal is different than the Soggs proposal. First of all, the MHA proposal is to gear the development to low to moderate income artists. Mm-hmm. We were talking about having a shared gallery space, talking about having shared studio apartments where you could actually live, work, and create art in right. those buildings, because that's the type of demographic we want to attract to that neighborhood.
Well, sculpture space is kind of the same same theme.
Absolutely.
And they're highly successful.
Artists are usually low to moderate income, especially when they're young and they started yeah. in Utica. So
radio hosts are the same way.
Exactly.
We need low income.
Unemployed former city officials.
Yeah.
But the point is, Soggs should have known by at least talking to the staff, who were all aware of this proposal that I had been discussing with Taraz Bowie. Soggs should have known. Soggs should have done his homework. Listen, I don't know Randy Soggs, and I'm not going to come on here and attack the guy mm-hmm. for replacing me. But it seems kind of strange to me that you couldn't find somebody other than a suburban shopping mall developer to handle urban economic development in the middle of a very disadvantaged city. There's experts. I personally knew of two or three people with incredible backgrounds in city revitalization that were interested in that position that weren't even looked at by the mayor. So it would beg the question, what did Randy Soggs bring to the table to have been chosen for this position? Doesn't even live in the city.
Right.
You know, that really bugs me. I have lived in the city of Utica for my whole life. I've never not lived in the city. When you live in the city, you have a stake in the city. You have a reason to care about its survival.
Yep.
If you're a guy who develops suburban shopping malls, what do you care about the city? What is revitalizing downtown going to do for your personal investment?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So I really have a problem with that.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you for coming by.
Hey, my pleasure.
And, if you haven't read the article yet, go to UticaPhoenix.net, check it out. And I'm looking forward to the third installment of the Grow West investigation.
And I'm looking forward to it as well. And if you ever want to have someone on to talk about these things, feel free to call me in the future.
It. Excellent. Mr. Right. Sullivan, thanks so much. More Talk of the Town with Mark Pierce coming up, 95.5 FM, WUTQ.
Okay.